Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right. We're back for hour number three. Going to get to this a little bit quicker because we've got Nick Friedell joining us about 1:25. But I was pleasantly informed earlier today that Brad did have more losers over the weekend than I thought. He was 2-2. It slipped in not just one, but two picks on social media while we were out of here over the weekend. And last night I didn't realize I had Celtics. What was that, -7, -8?
Yeah, I think I got to 7 when I was selecting.
When Brad was selecting. He had thrown that out there for you.
I wanted to put it in the ether because I know I got a win as a random selection there on Sunday, so I wanted to even it out by getting an L potentially yesterday.
And he did. Yes. Goes 2-2 over the weekend versus the spread.
Thank you.
And boy, did we need it because, as he mentioned, he was 2-1 before last night. Puts him at, drum roll please. It's great sound effect. 29-41 on the season versus the spread. Again, these do not include Brad's bonus picks.
Yeah, those are just teasers.
Which he's been known to do of late.
Also, good at teasers. Losing them, though.
Good at losing them.
Yeah.
Now Luka and Tatum were the last two.
Yeah. And I think
they both went over, didn't they?
I think I've hit both of those. Yeah. So that kind of brought us down to life.
We were 0-4. Now we're 2-4.
Okay. Well, the teasers are not part of this record,
Brad.
Still a loser.
At 2-4, he's going to stick with the bonuses. He's told us he likes them, especially as we dwindle down on actual games to pick. Yeah. We do have one of those tonight.
Okay.
And, by the way, you can hear tonight's game on 92.9 FM ESPN, 7:30.
Yes,
that's always worth a ding.
We'll have the championship starting next Thursday. No matter who's in it, they're going to wait a week. So it'll be Thursday when they have game one, whether it's Mavs or if somehow they can pull it out
of
their butts.
Never been done.
Nobody's ever come back from down 3-0. The T-Wolves.
Celtics came up short trying to do it last year. They didn't do it. It's never been done. And Minnesota will not do it. Let's get to Faye Breakhouse.
Your love is faded.
Now, it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, game four of a series that so far has been all Dallas. They go into Minnesota, win the first two, and then take game three again to have Minnesota right here on the ropes. They're on the ropes. They're doing a heck of a job defensively on Anthony Edwards. Those are all my takes. You've heard my takes. I don't want to in any way
tarnish the whole process.
No, I don't want to influence Brad's pick at all whatsoever. So I'll just give you the nuts and bolts of it. Last I looked, Dallas a 2-point favorite tonight.
We've got an update. It looks like the spread has moved a little bit. This is ESPN Bet now. It looks like it's 2 at FanDuel.
2 is what I had at FanDuel. Right. I'm going back to it, see if there's been any last second movement.
We get an update here.
It's actually down to 1.5 at
FanDuel. So it started at 3.5. It has now moved to 1.5, which is probably
the number we'll go with.
Yeah, and looking at the injury report, that's probably because a couple of points from Mr. Derek Lively, who is going to be out for this game. And I realize bench player, he's been in and out. Yeah. So, and that's a big piece for them. Like, they need Lively to perform. They need those bodies down low. But clearly, Luka Doncic will play, even though he's a game-time decision. I'm not going to overthink this one, Jason. I said at the very beginning that I am a believer in the Mavericks.
You've been on them the whole series.
The ESPN Analytics has this as a 64% win for the Mavericks. They're the favorite. Now, it's a lesser favorite, probably because of the center depth there. But I got to go with the Mavericks. And I'm going to go with the -1.5, so they got to cover it. But that's going to be my pick. I think they're going to close out. They've had the number of the Timberwolves. So go Mavs -1.5 for tonight's Fade Brad pick.
So you figure we'll see more of because we saw more of them in the last game when Lively got hurt. Was it Dwight Powell or whatever, a guy that's kind of gone, back, been forced to the back of the rotation?
Yeah, he hasn't even seen the court.
After the moves that they made. So I figured you'll see more of him stepping. Yeah,
that's
he played
fair.
8 minutes in the last game because of just a body to step up. It'll obviously be Gafford and P.J. Washington being asked to do
most of the
work. I forgot
he was on the roster. That's how little
but
he's
Dwight
played.
Powell, who they one time it felt really good about, has now been pushed to the back of the rotation. He'll play more, obviously, with Lively out. You've been right to be on Dallas the whole series for the most part.
Oddly.
And so I'm a little bit worried here that you're right that they're going to close out. You're watching Boston, who's going to have, 8-9 days rest here until Thursday. If you're Dallas, the onus has got to be, we finish tonight. Let's not go back to Minnesota and waste time here. Let's give ourselves, Lively included, now that he's been hit, the same amount or a close amount of rest as Boston. We don't want to be at a disadvantage where we're allowing Minnesota to stay in this thing. We're then going back to Minnesota and losing a game.
Yep.
Like, you got to figure Dallas wants to close out tonight, having just watched Boston do the same. So I'm worried your pick's right.
I really, talking about this series, the Mavericks and the Wolves, and I heard your breakdown. I thought it was spot on. I think the Wolves are a lot like the Oklahoma City Thunder, despite the fact that they worked these two bigs in where they're able to play together, in that they're just take away all the nuts and bolts of this. Mm-hmm. They're just not ready. They're a lot like the Grizzlies. And I think the Grizzlies, here's the hope watching this series, that this is the team, that the Grizzlies are going to be as good as we think they are, and that they can play with a team like Minnesota.
So I'm with you. Here's the thing, the other side of it. We talk about how great Luka and Doncic have both been, both scored 33, and it feels like you've awoken Kyrie Irving again by calling him out after Denver.
There, yeah.
Anthony Edwards. Against Phoenix, that was a sweep, remember?
Yeah.
31 points per game.
Yep.
51% from the field. Last series defending champs, 27.7. Still really good.
Yeah.
50% from the field. This series against this Dallas team that has awakened me in terms of the defense that it can play, Anthony Edwards, 22 points per game. He's shooting 38.6 from the field.
Wow.
So the man we were all comparing to young Mike, we were saying, how's this guy got it all together at 22 years old, has run into a buzzsaw this series. And you can't just say, well, that was a grueling series, seven-game series against Denver, and he doesn't have his legs. The entire Minnesota team's in the same boat.
Right.
Naz Reid's out there knocking down threes left and right. You are getting a subpar Anthony Edwards, certainly not coming close to what he's been, and you have to credit this Dallas defense for doing a lot of it to Anthony Edwards. So again, it's what Dallas has done offensively so impressive. They make regular role playing bigs and real scoring threats because of how good their guards are. But two, defensively, what they're doing against Anthony Edwards really got him frustrated.
And it's not like Dallas isn't nicked up. I mean, you look at what Luka's done. He's been doing this on supposedly a bum leg or whatever. He's kind of gimping along. Like, I think Luka, I forget he's 25 when I watch him play. Like, he plays like,
I know.
You know, he's like the guy at the schoolyard who, below
because,
the rim.
Because you cannot speed him up.
You can't him out of his game.
Like we're talking about with Halliburton, who could not figure out how to slow down.
Yeah.
Always goes fast. Doesn't know yet how to change speed.
Weaves around.
You will not get Luka to speed up. He will play his game at his pace. And that's the thing about it. It has the poise of a guy that's 30, 31.
Like an old head.
And the prime is as opposed to 25.
Wild to watch, man.
He's been like that since he got in the league, and it's clearly paying off for them now. Look, he got that experience a couple of years ago in the Western Conference Finals. Now it looks like it's paying off. Again, levels to this feels like the theme today, and they're on a higher level than Anthony Edwards and this Minnesota team is right now in terms of being ready for this moment.
And to that point, here is my just a bonus pick. Of
yeah, let's get the bonus in.
Luka will be my bonus pick over 30.5. If you're going to roll with the Mavs, I think that's the way to go here.
Well, I mean, he's been over 30 this whole series, yeah. Feels like.
Should be easy, I would think.
Yeah, should be. So you're going to pick a winner there. We needed a loser, but that's all right.
I'm the kiss of death. Remember, get a cover here. So
perhaps you will be. Perhaps you will be. But there you have it. Brad is on the Mavs tonight. As we mentioned, those fading, Brad, you're hitting at 58.6%. Still
losing.
A percentage, a very good percentage that Sharps, giving you real expert picks, would be proud of at hitting. We're proud of our segment. Hopefully, Brad can improve it with some losses tonight.
Go
Timberwolves, Mavericks. You can hear it all live right here on 92.9 FM. ESPN. Real quick, we're going to talk some Grizzlies and, again, those trade moves that could be happening, hopefully, this offseason. What's best for the Grizz? Who's the kind of guy they should be going after? Who's off limits? Who should you not be calling? We'll do that before we get to Nick Friedell, bottom of the hour. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Here, coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, get his take on what's going on in the conference finals, one of them done as of last night. Celtics put away the Pacers, but obviously got game four tonight of Minnesota at Dallas. Can Minnesota get back in this series? You know they can't win. It's never been done. Fall behind 0-3 in the series. We watched the Celtics try to do it against the Heat last year. Got real close. Got to game seven. Was back in Boston. Still lost the game. It's hard to do. Never been done. So unlikely we're going to see Minnesota get all the way back in this series. That said, we'll do that when we talk to Nick Friedell about 125, 130. Before we do, I wanted to revisit the story that's up at ESPN.com that we discussed in Cap or No Cap. We discussed briefly in Cap or No Cap this morning. It's really, I shouldn't call it a story as much as it is just off-season speculation from ESPN's Chris Herring, dropped this morning. And again, he entitles it NBA Free Agency 2024, 10 Blockbuster Trades Deals That Need to Happen This Offseason. This is an addition where going back and forth with a guy on Twitter that says, no, shouldn't be wanting Jared Allen, Jason. And no, of course, we don't want Mitchell Robinson. He agrees with me that Mitchell Robinson is injury plagued. And that was one of the, and that's the trade that that they bring up here in this trade. He was telling me we need Karl Anthony Towns, and so we were going back and forth on that a little bit. But real quick, back to the Mitchell Robinson deal, because it is one of the 10 that Herring mentions needs to happen this offseason. Again, he's not reporting it will happen or that this would even be the Grizzlies' number one priority, Mitchell Robinson, you know, over such as a Jared Allen or someone else. But he points out what Brad and I have been hitting on pretty much all these playoffs. You know, Grizzlies drop down to 25th in rebounding. You're going from having been elite, literally number one in the league a couple of years ago, to now pedestrian. You were pedestrian in terms of offensive rebounding, too, in the middle of the pack last year, I think around 13th or 14th. So it's dropped off. We know why. A lot of that is injuries. A lot of that is losing Steven Adams. You're not getting back to true contender status is what we've laid out. This is Brad and I have agreed on this. Unless you've got someone next to Jaren, helping him next year, they're, you know, don't try to veil this and tell yourself, well, Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson can hold it down through an entire regular season by themselves, and you get back to being the effective rebounding team, which seems so necessary, again, in this offense with Ja Morant at the front, seems so necessary in terms of its efficiency, getting those offensive rebounds. You're not going to get there just putting a Band-Aid over it, going and getting, you know, Andre Drummond and saying him, Brandon Clark, and Jaren can do it by themselves. You need to upgrade there. You need to truly go all in. And so what Herring writes, he says that during the 2021 all the way through 22-23 campaigns, the Grizzlies reached the playoffs in each one. Memphis finished fourth, first, and sixth in offensive rebounding percentage, respectively, and points out that's the main reason why they need to go get a guy like Mitchell Robinson. Now, he points out Grizzlies, we know, in a cash crunch right now, and that you would likely have to move off, have Luke Kennard opt in, trade him then to the Knicks for a Mitchell Robinson. But the thinking here of Herring, yes, we're talking about ESPN's Herring, not the
Daily. Yeah, we got a Herring and a Herrington.
His point is that, you know, you need it because of rebounding at this point, and the cash matches here, and Hartenstein has made Mitchell Robinson possibly, potentially, expendable for the Knicks, a guy that they might look to trade. They've got to re-sign Hartenstein, who is a free agent.
Yep.
And, again, the way he played, you know, and specifically in these playoffs with the offensive rebound and everything else, you know, at this point in his career doesn't have the injury concerns of a Mitchell Robinson. Seems likely to me that they would be willing to shop a Mitchell Robinson. My biggest point on him, and we talked about it again in cap or no cap, so I'd rather have Jared Allen, is what we mentioned, the aforementioned injury history of Mitchell Robinson, only playing an average of 45, 46 games the last 4 years. It's a problem, and it was for them this year. Again, so much so that Hartenstein, who started the year behind him in the rotation, steps up in his place, passes him, and by the end of the season, again, he's the guy that they're all looking at saying we got to retain. Now, if it's just Luke Kennard for Mitchell Robinson, and this, say you struck out on a Jared Allen for Marcus Smart, I am fine with the fit. I just, it wouldn't be, Brad, my top priority. It's not right. The first call I'm making. Again, whether that's to Cleveland for a Jared Allen, and I got to give up a Marcus Smart and the number 9 pick, I'm prioritizing that. I believe you get more from Jared Allen. Now, I've had some pushback. You know, Jared Allen doesn't want to be a center next to Mobley, and so, he wants a different role, and he's not going to want to be that next to Jared. And that would certainly be what you're asking of Jared Allen to do. I don't care what the role is. I have to think that Jared Allen would look at this Memphis team, see what it needs, and say, I can do that. Oh, and not to mention, maybe be a part of one of the best defenses in terms of being a rim protector, one of the best defenses in the league next year next to Jaren and those guys. I'm thinking even without Marcus Smart, because you've still got a guy on the perimeter, Vince Williams, that you're hoping for good things for defensively. And so, to me, that's a priority. I'd be willing to give up more to do it. But then if you start getting, and with all due respect to the gentleman I'm going at it with on Twitter, with all due respect, we start talking about Karl Anthony Towns, who's due 40. Yes, I think Minnesota should be looking at possibly getting off, or certainly should be taking calls on. But Karl Anthony Towns is too inconsistent on the $49 million he's going to make next year. And, oh, by the way, in a couple of years, that's going to be up to $61 million. He doesn't fit right now.
He's also a perimeter player.
Like, what you would have to give up in terms of to get him, in terms of financially, contract-wise, is so much more than you would have to give up to get for Jared Allen, who's making essentially half as much as Karl Anthony Towns. And then let's just say, well, Karl Anthony Towns has been great. Yeah, one of the best big shooting bigs in the league, proven everything else for those that say they want to bring him in. How does that fit next to Jaren? Another big who would rather be on the perimeter shooting threes. That's all Karl seems like he wants to do at this point in his career. I need rim runner. Mitchell Robinson is that when he's healthy. Yeah. Rim runner, rebounder. Jared Allen is that when healthy.
Right.
And that more so than Karl Anthony Towns, who Brad's going to want to show me why he makes the $50 million a year and be outside, inside. That, to me, it's not what gets you back to being one of the best rebounding teams in the league, having a Karl Anthony Towns who at this point in his career feels just as happy, shooting threes from long distance as he is being under the basket or being a rim presence.
You know, I kind of hate to say it, but we need what the Mavs have. We need Gafford or some of these tall type, that type of of an arrangement.
Now, maybe Jared Allen don't want to do that, but that's so what's
you could be like
that's what he's been
and just
best
say,
suited
hey,
for.
Our centers just happen to hover around the interior. Just
Mitchell
to
Robinson,
tell him that.
That's what I envision, Brad. That's the type of big I'm envisioning. Not what Steven Adams was not a guy who drifted out to the three-point line and looked how beautifully it worked.
Works fine.
With a big in Jaren Jackson who does and is good floating defensively.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other part about it. You allow Jaren to roam more and get back to what he does. And so, look, Memphis doesn't need somebody like Karl Anthony Towns. In fact, you can make an argument he comes in here and messes this up more, particularly when you think about what you would have to give up to even make the money work, to make the contracts work. What Memphis needs is a big whose focus is on rebounding and rim running.
Yes.
Less money. You don't need the $49 million you're paying Karl Anthony Towns. You do it on a $20 million. You do it on a 12 or a 13 like Mitchell Robinson is making. You do that, and I think this team can truly get back to contender status. We don't need to get dreamy and all of a sudden start talking about breaking up Ja or Jaren or Bane. If those of y'all that want Cat, you're saying in a couple of years you're ready to move on. No. That's not how you get, I think, to where you need to be. You go get the big, and whether it's Mitchell Robinson, who the injury history scares me a little bit, I'd rather have him down the list, or a Jared Allen. That guy is out there, and you've got the resources, Brad, whether it's Luke Kennard or a Marcus Smart, whether it's this pick, the number 9, or future picks, you've got the resources to go out there and get that guy and then truly be able to call yourself – you know, a contender next year, able to compete with these final four, these final eight teams.
The unfortunate thing for Memphis is if you think about the history of centers in the NBA, and particularly with the Grizzlies, whoever you get's going to have injury concerns. Think about Gasol.
Well, that's
think
true.
About Steven Adams. Think about Valanciunas. All of our guys over the last 10 years, it's always the
and
center.
And these playoffs have been
just,
rocked by
centers
injury.
Are prone for this, especially, and it's just the way it goes.
They're so
Mitchell Robinson or any of these dudes, even if it's Jared Allen, like, you're still going to have the same question.
I mean, Time Lord, John's guy, Robert Williams, that's up in Portland now, has had injury history.
They're just big. They're 7 feet two. I mean, it's this way. I mean, I'm not trying to state the obvious. They most have foot problems.
Jared Allen has less concerns there than Mitchell Robinson has had of late.
Yes.
That said, you make a fair point.
Tell me a center who hasn't.
Most of them have injury issues if they've played in the league as long as Jared Allen has.
That's to your point,
Mitchell Robinson has.
That's why you've got to kind of go into this like, we're going to get the best we can get and then hope for the best. I mean, look what they're going through with Porzingis. Now, he's not a five. He's
just
more
of a... Just don't go cheap and just go Andre Drummond.
No, I agree with that.
And now it's fixed. Here's the big we need. We're going to start him next to Jaren. That's not going to get you through a season and a playoffs.
You and I are on the same page.
Like, you can do better than that.
Yes.
And if you got to give up some assets to go do it, then absolutely do it, because you've got to maximize these next 2 years.
And you're going to have to give up assets to do it.
You have to, to go get that guy, somebody better than Andre Drummond, and you should.
Yep.
You don't, you know, this takes more than a Band-Aid.
Now it's the time.
To come back from 25th and rebounding to get back up at the top where you need to. So again,
I also believe no matter who's on your staff, you need to give up on the Jaren Jackson experiment. I may be wrong about at the five.
The Jaren Jackson at the five. Thing.
Like, I am, no matter who you have on staff and whatever offense you're going to run, do not
be
do
great
that
down the road.
Don't
you
do
don't
that.
Maximize Jaren Jackson right now.
Now. But
what you need to do
right,
2 years on
right
by
now.
Putting him at the five. You don't maximize him.
Agree.
Look at how much he fell defensively last year because of all the everything you got him doing.
We've seen the movie, man.
Not to mention, I mean, he's just not going to become this double-digit rebounder that y'all want. Now, a couple of the other things real quick before we get to Nick Friedell. He said some of the other best moves that need to happen. Philadelphia 76ers signed LeBron James.
I saw that. What do you think? Ridiculous?
He's not leaving L.A.
What about if somebody drafts Bronny?
No, you're not. You cannot just leave L.A. Where you've basically got them with a gun next to they're doing whatever you want at this point. They're so committed to you. You can't leave that to go...
Yeah,
you know, only where Bronny goes.
He'll have to take a pay cut, too.
It's still
got to
be about championships.
He's got $58, $60 million sitting there.
It's still
got
to be about the chance to win a championship for LeBron, a fifth title.
Yeah.
And so just going to play those last years with Son in a situation where you're not close to a championship doesn't make any sense. I guess with Philly, if in this instance, he's not talking about Philly getting Bronny and then you're going with him.
No, it's different.
But in Philly, you see Maxi, you see Joel, and you say, I can be the third piece.
That's a champion.
You say, I can be the third piece there.
I see
that. And Maxi, they have something the Lakers don't have. You know, with Anthony Davis,
elite
okay,
guard.
Put him with it, but you don't have,
right.
that. And he could be the sort of third guy, which is what he needs to be rather than top two at this point. You know, give you more than what Tobias Harris gave you last year. It actually doesn't, you know, in terms of fit standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. I just don't think LeBron is leaving L.A. and the security he's got there and sort of how he has them by the you-know-whats. OKC said should sign Klay Thompson. Bring some veteran leadership there. I could see that one. Lakers, here's one. Sign Paul George.
Yep.
You bring him across town and bring him over to replace LeBron.
Okay.
Lakers trade for Trae Young to go with Paul George. This is, again, with LeBron out. Orlando should sign D'Angelo Russell, they say. Again, D'Angelo Russell, Orlando needs a fix out on the perimeter. And Paolo Banchero said we need another playmaker.
Yep.
I'm not sure D'Angelo Russell, who always talks about himself in the third person, doesn't care about team ball or anything else, is the kind of guy you want. Although, from a playmaking standpoint, you could talk yourself into it. Says Bulls should sign Chris Paul. That ain't going to fix the Bulls. James Harden should go back. Oh, and here's the one that's scary to me, because I mentioned this saying on Friday, and we'll get to Nick Friedell here. It's the last one. San Antonio Spurs trade for Darius Garland.
I saw it. Yeah.
See, I think that's perfect. I think San Antonio going for Trae Young is the wrong guy. Not that Pop couldn't sprinkle his winning dust on Trae Young and make him a better, more effective winning player, but I just think Darius Garland fits it better. And Darius Garland could use that. He could use the sort of Pop championship polish.
He's only 24.
Show me all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
Running the pick and roll with Wimby. It would be unstoppable. And again, I don't think you'd have as much of the ego, I want this to be my team, as you might potentially with Trey when he gets with Wimby. That one, I mentioned it to Sane when he was in here on Friday, that if the Spurs got Darius Garland, that would scare me a little bit because I think Darius Garland could be a great fit for them down there. Hopefully it doesn't happen. We'll see. But we figure Cleveland's going to be looking to move on from him. We got more to do, including talk to Nick Friedell about these playoffs, maybe a little off-season stuff, what the Grizzlies should do. But we'll focus, obviously, on Minnesota-Dallas, what the Celtics just did in upending the Pacers, and then get some predictions maybe on what this these finals are going to look like with Dallas and with the Celtics. We'll do all that with Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider. When we get back, you're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. We are joined now on the line by Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, very gracious to join us on these Tuesdays. And I'll tell you what, Nick, this will be what you've – I appreciate you hanging in there with me these last 5 weeks without my co-host, John Martin, who – I don't know if you're aware, he's using all legal 6 weeks of paternity leave for the man. I don't think there are many American men who use all of it. And John is maximizing what he has legally, and we've loved him doing so. But you've only been getting questions from the one side for the last 5 weeks, so I appreciate you bearing with me. Listen, you're a man that's well-traveled, been across this nation back and forth, and especially across the NBA. You ever run into Bill Walton on any of those travels? Certainly was sad news for us all over the weekend.
I would see him at games occasionally, and it was always an experience because I never really got to talk to him that much. And I say that because anywhere Bill went, it's like the Pied Piper.
No doubt. Well,
everybody wanted a couple like minutes, and he would talk for, 10 about
anything. Didn't talk for 10 when you wanted to. That's right.
The thing that always cracks me up, though, is that you've got all these heartfelt tributes that have poured out on Twitter and all these social media platforms over the last 24 hours. And it is hilarious the amount of times that you say, yeah, I asked Bill this one question and he talked for 16 minutes. That was my experience in just watching him from a distance sometimes at these games. But it was always a respect there. And that's what I appreciated. I mean, he loved the game. He loved talking about the game, but he loved people and he loved learning about stuff, and that is quite the legacy on top of what he accomplished on the floor.
Well, our local columnist Jeff Calkins, just real quick on Bill, I thought did a great job in sort of summing up, we should hate him here in Memphis for what he did to us in 73 into that Memphis State team, going 21-22 from the field, 44 points in that national championship game. And I mean, that game was tied. Nobody believed Memphis State had a chance in that one. That game was tied at halftime. I think even Memphis had a quick lead there in the second half. And we should hate him because, of course, he kept us away from – and Memphis has never won a championship, been close a couple times, as close as they ever gotten. But at the end of that game, there's a picture, and it says it. It's really – I mean, Bill struggled through injury throughout the rest of his career. But Larry Finch, who was beloved here, had led that team with Gene Bartow as the coach to that game, is seen like helping – Bill Walton off the floor in that game after he'd gone 21-22 and absolutely murdered your chances of winning a national championship. Larry's helping him off. And so that it's all, one of our Memphis boosters put it, if Larry didn't hate him, we couldn't either. And so I'm sure there's a tie like that with Bill Walton in every town, but to Memphis and that chance we had in 73, he took it away from us, and you still can't hate on him for it. I mean, he was just he's a positive soul, man. And even in that performance, Larry Finch showed the kind of man he was, helping him off the floor.
I think that is really, really interesting, and I think it's a great way to put it because the thing that you learned about Bill Walton through the years, and certainly, I remember talking to Dave Pasch about this, his broadcast partner on ESPN, yep, just a few months ago. He said, it's positivity.
Right.
And that is missing in a lot of society. I mean, let's be real. People don't find the positives in a lot of stuff that's going on. And for Bill to have that kind of impact on so many different people, I mean, you and I have watched all of these different things play out with teams and athletes through the years, and you ask somebody for a picture or an autograph, and plenty of guys are like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
Especially now. It's not what it once was, maybe 15, 20 years ago, but Bill Walton was that guy that would stop and talk and take a picture and tell a story. And he was just I've seen it so many times reading all these tributes, but it was a one of one. And personality wise, the game is going to miss him dearly.
No question about it. So well put there on Bill. All right, Eastern Conference Finals are over. Celtics sweep.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Tatum, what was it, 30-10-6 in terms of what he averaged this series. But we see Jaylen Brown get the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP trophy. They give it to the right guy?
I probably would have leaned Tatum just because the numbers were there. And that vote was like, what, 5-4?
Yep.
So, you know, you could have gone either direction. Jaylen Brown certainly had some really, really good performances and carried them at times. But if we were putting money down right now, not only do I think Boston ends up winning the title, but I think that little slight is going to piss Tatum off so much.
So we had Brown mad at the All NBA slight, yeah, right at Halliburton, yeah, and now Tatum, I got you, motivated, chip on the shoulder by this. I like it. I like the narrative.
Absolutely. If you were running to the window, yeah, I would say okay, Tatum and the Celtics, because all of these guys are so competitive, and it did seem like everybody was happy for Jaylen Brown, and great, you know, they earned it, he earned it, he played really, really well. But Jason Tatum has always carried himself as the face, certainly, of that team, and he wants to be one of the faces, future faces of the league. And the Celtics keep getting to this point, and they get to the finals, or they get last year to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yep,
and they just can't get over the hump. What has to happen for it to happen? Your star player has to carry everybody else and take them across the finish line. So I you could have gone either way. I probably would have gone Tatum, but I certainly would go Tatum now in this series coming up.
Well put, because I think you're absolutely right about the motivation. I even almost felt like I sensed it in the interviews afterwards when he was being, and Jaylen Brown had gotten MVP, although maybe that's just me picking up on it. I must say that at one point we're asking the question, or at least we were here in Memphis, you know, you pull Marcus Smart away from that team, and we've discussed this a little bit, what's it going to mean for leadership and everything else? Man, between Drew Holiday and what they're getting from Derek White, and then, oh, by the way, I mean, at some point they're going to pour Kristaps Porzingis on top of this. The way I put it with Brad, like, that void that I thought would be there with Marcus Smart gone, it feels like Drew and Derek had filled that thing up and have got more growing out of it. And then when you put Porzingis on top, that this is clearly, to your point, they've reached this level before, come up short. Bro, I don't think with Drew's championship pedigree, the way Derek White's become this two-way player that can defend 100% on one end, but then give you all this efficiency he's doing on the other end offensively, I just think that this is a better Celtics team that has been at this point in previous seasons.
I think you are spot on, and I would also add to it by saying this. If the Celtics don't win it now, this year, and finally do it, I don't know when it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
And when you get a team that is as talented as this group is and has star players, especially like Tatum, who's certainly coming into his own and wants to be viewed,
yep,
in that top tier, you have to win titles. They have gotten close, but they have found ways not to make it happen. They have all the pieces in place. And to the point that you outlined about the roster reconstruction, mm-hmm, I thought losing Marcus Smart was going to really, really hurt them because of the emotional,
exactly,
impact that he has had on that team. And it hasn't up to this point. If ever there was a time, if they do win this thing in the next few weeks, to go back and say, hey, a front office made the difference in getting a team from point A to point B.
Yep.
Brad Stevens and that Celtics group deserve a ton of credit if they can cross this line, because they saw that this team just couldn't do it.
B9FM, ESPN. We are joined now on the line by Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, very gracious to join us on these Tuesdays. And I tell you what, Nick, this will be what you've. I appreciate you hanging in there with me these last five weeks without my co-host, John Martin, who, I don't know if you're aware, he's using all legal 6 weeks of paternity leave for the man. I don't think there are many American men who use all of it. And John is maximizing what he has legally, and we've loved him doing so. But you've only been getting questions from the one side for the last 5 weeks, so I appreciate you bearing with me. Listen, you're a man that's well-traveled, been across this nation back and forth, and especially across the NBA. You ever run into Bill Walton on any of those travels? Certainly was sad news for us all over the weekend.
I would see him at games occasionally, and it was always an experience because I never really got to talk to him that much. And I say that because anywhere Bill went, it's like the Pied Piper.
No doubt. Well,
everybody wanted a couple minutes, and he would talk for, 10 about
didn't talk
anything.
For 10 when he wanted to. That's right.
The thing that always cracks me up, though, is that you've got all these heartfelt tributes that have poured out on Twitter and all these social media platforms over the last 24 hours. And it is hilarious the amount of times that you say, yeah, I asked Bill this one question and he talked for 16 minutes. That was my experience in just watching him from a distance sometimes at these games. But it was always a respect there. And that's what I appreciated. I mean, he loved the game. He loved talking about the game, but he loved people and he loved learning about stuff, and that is quite the legacy on top of what he accomplished on the floor.
Well, our local columnist Jeff Calkins, just real quick on Bill, I thought did a great job in sort of summing up, we should hate him here in Memphis for what he did to us in 73 and to that Memphis State team, going 21-22 from the field, 44 points in that national championship game. And I mean, that game was tied. Nobody believed Memphis State had a chance in that one. That game was tied at halftime. I think even Memphis had a quick lead there in the second half. And we should hate him because, of course, he kept us away from – and Memphis has never won a championship, been close a couple times, as close as they ever gotten. But at the end of that game, there's a picture, and it says it. It's really – I mean, Bill struggled through injury throughout the rest of his career. But Larry Finch, who was beloved here, had led that team with Gene Bartow as the coach to that game, is seen like helping – Bill Walton off the floor in that game after he'd gone 21-22 and absolutely murdered your chances of winning a national championship. Larry's helping him off. And so that it's all, one of our Memphis boosters put it, if Larry didn't hate him, we couldn't either. And so I'm sure there's a tie like that with Bill Walton in every town, but to Memphis and that chance we had in 73, he took it away from us, and you still can't hate on him for it. I mean, he was just he's a positive soul, man. And even in that performance, Larry Finch showed the kind of man he was, helping him off the floor.
I think that is really, really interesting, and I think it's a great way to put it, because the thing that you learned about Bill Walton through the years, and certainly, I remember talking to Dave Pasch about this, his broadcast partner on ESPN, yep, just a few months ago. He said, it's positivity.
Right.
And that is missing in a lot of society. I mean, let's be real. People don't find the positives in a lot of stuff that's going on. And for Bill to have that kind of impact on so many different people, I mean, you and I have watched all of these different things play out with teams and athletes through the years, and you ask somebody for a picture or an autograph, and plenty of guys are like, nah, I'm good.
Yep.
Especially now. It's not what it once was, maybe 15, 20 years ago, but Bill Walton was that guy that would stop and talk and take a picture and tell a story, and he was just I've seen it so many times reading all these tributes, but it was a one of one, and personality-wise, the game is going to miss him dearly.
No question about it. So well put there on Bill. All right, Eastern Conference Finals are over. Celtics sweep.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know. Tatum, what was it, 30-10-6 in terms of what he averaged this series. But we see Jaylen Brown get the Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP trophy. They give it to the right guy?
I probably would have leaned Tatum just because the numbers were there. And that vote was like, 5-4?
Yep.
So, you could have gone either direction. Jaylen Brown certainly had some really, really good performances and carried them at times. But if we were putting money down right now, not only do I think Boston ends up winning the title, but I think that that little slight is going to piss Tatum off so much.
So we had Brown mad at the All-NBA slight, yeah, right at Halliburton, yeah, and now Tatum, I got you, motivated, chip on the shoulder by this. I like it. I like the narrative.
Absolutely. If you were running to the window, yeah, I would say, okay, Tatum and the Celtics, because all of these guys are so competitive, and it did seem like everybody was happy for Jaylen Brown, and great, you know, they earned it, he earned it, he played really, really well. But Jason Tatum has always carried himself as the face, certainly, of that team, and he wants to be one of the faces, future faces of the league. And the Celtics keep getting to this point, and they get to the finals, or they get last year to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yep,
and they just can't get over the hump. What has to happen for it to happen? Your star player has to carry everybody else and take them across the finish line. So you could have gone either way. I probably would have gone Tatum, but I certainly would go Tatum now in this series coming up.
Well put, because I think you're absolutely right about the motivation. I even almost felt like I sensed it in the interviews afterwards when he was being, and Jaylen Brown had gotten MVP, although maybe that's just me picking up on it. I must say that at one point we're asking the question, or at least we were here in Memphis, you know, you pulled Marcus Smart away from that team, and we've discussed this a little bit, what's it going to mean for leadership and everything else? Man, between Drew Holiday and what they're getting from Derek White, and then, oh, by the way, I mean, at some point they're going to pour Kristaps Porzingis on top of this. The way I put it with Brad, like, that void that I thought would be there with Marcus Smart gone, it feels like Drew and Derek had filled that thing up and have got more growing out of it. And then when you put Porzingis on top, that this is clearly, to your point, they've reached this level before, come up short. Bro, I don't think with Drew's championship pedigree, the way Derek White's become this two-way player that can defend 100% on one end but then give you all this efficiency he's doing on the other end offensively, I just think that this is a better Celtics team that has been at this point in previous seasons.
I think you are spot on, and I would also add to it by saying this. If the Celtics don't win it now, this year, and finally do it, I don't know when it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
And when you get a team that is as talented as this group is and has star players, especially like Tatum, who's certainly coming into his own and wants to be viewed,
yep,
in that top tier, you have to win titles. They have gotten close, but they have found ways not to make it happen. They have all the pieces in place. And to the point that you outlined about the roster reconstruction, mm-hmm, I thought losing Marcus Smart was going to really, really hurt them because of the emotional,
exactly,
impact that he has had on that team. And it hasn't up to this point. If ever there was a time, if they do win this thing in the next few weeks, to go back and say, hey, a front office made the difference in getting a team from point A to point B.
Yep.
Brad Stevens and that Celtics group deserve a ton of credit if they can cross this line, because they saw that this team just couldn't do it. They made the changes in the offseason to make it happen. And you're right, you throw Porzingis on there. Oh. He was supposed to be one of the difference makers that was going to change things in the postseason. Well, now will be his time to shine against very likely the Mavericks and Kyrie. So it's going to be really intriguing to see how the Celtics handle this particular finals after what they've been through over the last few years. But I just think all the pieces are in place,
yep,
because if it doesn't happen now, I don't think it's going to happen for this iteration of the group.
You know, and I want to get to the Western Conference finals here, but I was just thinking about it as you were laying it out. I guess the guy I would be happiest for, because I'm with you, there's no excuse, they have to win it, but that we haven't mentioned, because he's earned it, man, with the way he's carried himself, with how much of a contributor he still has, about to be 38 in June, like Al Horford, who hit, yes, 7 threes in, what, game 3, and is still contributing at a time where they're shorthanded. Oh, we need you at 37 to play more minutes with Kristaps out. Nobody has earned a ring just at this point. And what is it? He's like most playoff games without one at this point, isn't he? I'd be so happy for Al Horford if they do come through and win.
It feels a lot like, yeah, I mean, it feels a lot like, to me, like Phil Mickelson back in time.
Yeah.
You thought, Is this guy ever going to get over that hump and cross the bridge? I mean, Al Horford, for what he's been relied upon to do at this stage,
no doubt,
been unbelievable. And I also give him credit for this. I mean, he bounced around plenty. I mean, he started in Atlanta, but then he was in a few different places. But he found his way back to Boston, and he really seems invested in making it happen.
Oh, yeah.
And the loyalty aspect of that is not something we talk about in pro sports, especially in the NBA anymore. But I give him this because he could have certainly changed again and gone somewhere else, and he stuck with the Celtics. He thinks they can do it. They're right on the verge of doing it again, but it would be a nice story to see him not only stay with the team and win, but be able to give what he's giving at this stage of his career.
Couldn't agree more. We're talking with Nick Friedell here on the show, Insider Calls, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. Boy, it seems like Anthony Edwards really learned a valuable lesson. Anthony Edwards, who I had crowned, by the way, and prematurely, how in the world is this guy doing this at 22? It's all coming together. He just gets it. Just put the defending champs to sleep. Looks like calling out Kyrie after Game 7 in Denver wasn't exactly a great idea. Kyrie, who wasn't all that great against OKC, he's certainly awake now.
That was not the move to make.
No.
That was not the move to make. For all this, the drama that Kyrie has created off the floor, what people, I think, forgot in the midst of everything that's occurred in the last few years is Kyrie is still an incredible player when he turns it on. And all he needs, like all great competitors, is a slight sometimes. And in that regard, I mean, that just wasn't something I would have said if I were Ant Edwards, but it's part of the learning process. You know, everybody was ready. You were not alone. Everybody was ready to say, hey, this is the face. This is the guy. This is in so many ways, and we've been talking about it the last few weeks, but Anthony Edwards has kind of stepped into the role that Ja Morant had been in. Like, hey, this guy, he can be that next future face of the NBA for a long time. And he gets to this stage in the Western Conference Finals, and the wheels have just fallen off. Now, I don't think it is all Edwards and his defense and the issues that he's had at times offensively. I think the guy who deserves a ton of blame, and certainly Rudy Gobert has gotten plenty of it, starting with Draymond as an analyst, but the guy who I go back to is Karl Anthony Towns.
No doubt.
He was a huge difference maker against the Nuggets in that series in the second round. And he had started to change the narrative about his career, because everybody was always like, this guy. I mean, I've watched it for years in Minnesota. He can't be there when you need him the most. In this series, in the biggest moment, he has completely disappeared. So there are a lot of reasons why Minnesota's in the spot they're in. And there are a lot of lessons, certainly, that Ant Edwards will take from what he said and not done on the floor. Moving forward, it'll be good for him. But if you're looking for somebody to blame as to why the Timberwolves are in the spot they're in, you needed Towns to show up again, and he didn't.
Couldn't agree more with you. Dallas, to your point, too, Kyrie, Luka, all phenomenal. Kids obviously done a good job getting them to buy in defensively. But to the point you made about the Celtics in terms of what the front office has done, I mean, I've had to come around on this, Nick. You've talked about it too. Me and you both riding on wrong street because we had the Clippers beating them. But going out and making that move at the trade deadline where you go get PJ and you go get Daniel Gafford and what it did for you defensively. Like, I think it was eighth the rest of the way in terms of best defense in the league, and for stretches was one of the top defenses. You know, it's that part, Nick, that I've had to come around on most. I didn't think a Luka Kyrie team would be able to defend the way this team is defending. To have Anthony Edwards this frustrated. They did the same thing where they're just not going to give anything to Shea at the basket. Like, they decided we're going to make it, you know, sticky. What they've done there defensively, and to your point about the Celtics, I think it applies here too. That front office, that trade deadline, those moves, really a big part of why they're here too.
Jason, I think it's a great parallel. Yep. And I would add this component of it, especially in the context of the Kyrie and Luka discussion. Mm-hmm. Everybody had written them off after they were tanking their way out of the play-in last year.
I was one of them. Yep.
It was like, yep. You know, this is not going to work. They don't have enough, and the chemistry isn't there. Not only do Nico Harrison and the rest of that Dallas front office deserve credit for the moves that you just described there, because like you get the right pieces in near the deadline, it can make a difference. But I think it's another reminder, especially in the NBA, just because something doesn't work instantly doesn't mean it won't work down the line. And we're not used to seeing two star guards pair up like Luka and Kyrie, yeah. And especially with all the issues that he had at the end of that Brooklyn tenure, there were plenty of people that were like, it's just not going to happen. I think this shows that if you add the right pieces around great top-tier talent, it still can happen. And Dallas is a case study of have a little patience, make the right front office moves, and grow around a top tier star, yep. In Luka Doncic, and that's where you get yourself one game away from the finals. And you know, they're playing like a team that absolutely believes that they're going to go into Boston and win it. We're going to see. I still think the Celtics have the upper hand, but Dallas is one of those moments in time in the league where you go, it can all shake out the way you want it.
Yep.
If you have the right structure in place to begin with.
And then let me ask something, Nick, before I get you out of here, just as an old Bulls fan that walks around with a bag on his head all the time now, because there's just not much to talk about, not much pride anymore. Where would you begin to start? I was reading this off-season thing on ESPN that says, oh, Bulls should go get, you know, Chris Paul or whatever. And that doesn't even begin to fix the mess that has been the Chicago Bulls the last season. And just in terms of things they've got to do, Nick, and you haven't spent as much time up there as you had and so familiar with that situation, what's first on your list? What's got for them to get back in any real way? You know, is it blow it all up? You know, come back with this guy and build around him? Just to, what's the – how do you get Chicago back?
If it were me, the first move I would make would be to fire Karnisovas and Eversley, and I would throw an absolute ton of money at Bob Myers and see come back,
yeah.
and start basically from scratch and set the structure in place for an organization. As a longtime Bulls fan, you know that there are a lot of problems. And
too many.
Anybody who has followed them for years, this goes back to the Jordan years, it always starts at the top. It's on the Reinsdorfs. Jerry's son Michael is now running much more of the day-to-day in Chicago, but this team has made poor decision after poor decision, especially after the divorce from Tom Thibodeau and Garm Pax. But if it's me, having seen what's happened the last few years, you start – if you can't start at the top and there's not going to be an ownership change and that won't happen, you then go get your president of basketball operations and you let that person, whoever he or she may be, run the show and start from scratch.
Start it over.
For me, it would be Bob Myers, who had all the success with the Warriors, and you put the drafts in place from there.
Yep.
And you get off the LaVine contract, no matter what it takes, and then you start as fresh as possible. But it is a mess, and knowing so many old Bulls fans in the way that I do for so many years, it's not a one- or two-step process. They've got so many bad contracts, and they're so far away from even a possible East contention that it's sad to think how long it will take. But if I've learned anything covering the league, if you get the right personnel in place to make the picks and make the cap selections and recruit the players, you're going a long way. And I think that's the first move to get them back to where they need to be.
I absolutely love it. I love the going after Bob Myers idea. They should throw everything at it. And because you're right, you have to get a clean slate. You have to wipe this mess clean before you can truly fix it again. Nick, you know your stuff, man. Appreciate you so much and you joining us on these Tuesdays, brother. Thank you. Have a great week.
Always good to be with you, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. He is Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls, of course, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It is indeed equipped for adventure. Yeah, it's going to take a lot to fix that Chicago Bulls mess. Again, that was a little bit of a yeah, self-indulgent question about a franchise that's long been dead. But Nick knows it so well, having been up there for so many years. We're about to get you ready for Giannotto and Jeffrey here after a break. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We still got a few days left here in May, which means you've got a few days to take care of the May month-long special over at the Wing Guru. Our man Billy Richmond putting it down. Best 22 flavors in town with the best wings possible. Party hole, however you like your wings. I'm a boneless man. Don't hold it against me. My favorite of those 22 is the Nashville Hot. But as I mentioned, that special for the rest of the month, two legs, crispy chicken legs dipped in your favorite flavor. That's with a small fry or an okra for just $5.99. You can get it online or at any one of his stores, $56.99. Mount Moriah, the one that's closest, nearest and dearest to my heart, is the original location. It's my go-to because we're out right here by the studios, just down the road. Of course, close to my Hickory Hill spot, where little Chris does the martial arts. The story here is Billy and how he's gone from Tigers basketball player to chicken house entrepreneur, spreading across the country. If you haven't tried the Wing Guru, what in the world is wrong with you? Well, you're behind. Get over there. When you get there, you see Billy Richmond. You tell him that Jason and John sent you. All right, Fade Brad's in. He's on Dallas tonight, -1.5. Feel like he's been on Dallas for the last 3 weeks. He's also, you know, bonus pick Luka over 30.5 points. 2-2 over the weekend. We're hitting at a basically 59% clip for those fading. That's still good.
The line is the important part here. The problem with tonight's game is the line's only 1.5.
Line is only
basically
1.5.
Basically about even here.
Yep. Thank you to our guest today, Jessica Benson. Of course, the great Nick Friedell. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and for Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. I'm ESPN.
We still got a few days left here in May, which means you've got a few days to take care of the May month-long special over at the Wing Guru. Our man Billy Richmond putting it down. Best 22 flavors in town with the best wings possible. Party hole, however you like your wings. I'm a boneless man. Don't hold it against me. My favorite of those 22 is the Nashville Hot. But as I mentioned, that special for the rest of the month, two legs, crispy chicken legs dipped in your favorite flavor. That's with a small fry or an okra for just $5.99. You can get it online or at any one of his stores, $56.99. Mount Moriah, the one that's closest, nearest and dearest to my heart, is the original location. It's my go-to because we're out right here by the studios, just down the road. Of course, close to my Hickory Hill spot, where little Chris does the martial arts. The story here is Billy and how he's gone from Tigers basketball player to chicken house entrepreneur, spreading across the country. If you haven't tried the Wing Guru, what in the world is wrong with you? Hey, you're behind. Get over there. When you get there, you see Billy Richmond. You tell him that Jason and John sent you. All right, Fade Brad's in. He's on Dallas tonight, -1.5. Feel like he's been on Dallas for the last 3 weeks. He's also, you know, bonus pick Luka over 30.5 points. 2-2 over the weekend. We're hitting at a basically 59% clip for those fading. That's still good.
The line is the important part here. The problem with tonight's game is the line's only 1.5.
Line is only
basically
1.5.
Basically about even here.
Yep. Thank you to our guest today, Jessica Benson. Of course, the great Nick Friedell. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and for Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.